This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. An incredible Monday because it's Medal of Honor Monday, of course. Yeah, we have some other stuff. We'll do some politics this hour. I actually want to do a couple of these ghost stories this hour. Some other things, if you don't mind. But it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday at this time, we do the exact same thing for the exact same reason. We have to remember the men and remember the deeds. The men who built this country, who did incredible things. We have to hold them up in front of our children and say, look, that's who you're trying to be. Not the latest YouTube star. That is who you're trying to be. And they are forgotten. We don't know these names. They're not celebrated in a widespread fashion in our society anymore. So we take a citation and we read it. You can do this in your life, and I encourage you to do so. It's not like I have some ownership of it. I didn't do any of these things. Read it to your kids, to your class, to your sports team you coach. And you might just be surprised, boys and girls tend to eat this stuff up. This one we've done before, maybe once, but it's been quite a while. This one's, remember, you can email love, hate, death threats, or suggestions if you have them to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Mr. Kelly, appreciate Medal of Honor Mondays, as well as the one brave man enough, or the one man brave enough to call them commies and traitors. A suggestion for Medal of Honor Monday. I remember reading about this in either Reader's Digest or Boy's Life over 50 years ago. It's an amazing story like so many others. Actually, it's also kind of an Air Force story, but not really. I'm going to play the Army music for it because it was the Army Air Force back then, so it would have been the same theme song. But this is U.S. Army Air Force, and his name's Henry Irwin, Henry Eugene Irwin, although they all called him Red. Just a brief little background on him. He tried to go the pilot route and washed out. That doesn't mean he wasn't tough enough or whatever. There are a lot of things you have to be a pilot that physically some people simply do not have. But he moved on to become a radio operator, and this was during World War II. Remember, flying on a bomber crew in World War II was a little different. A little different in that it was one of the most dangerous things you could possibly do. When we think about bomber crews today, not that we in any way dog on their service, but today, with the equipment we have, you're doing that above the clouds. You're dropping bombs from above the clouds into a soda can, and you're flying away. Back then, it wasn't this way. You were flying low. Fighters could catch you. It was a dangerous profession, especially if you didn't have a fighter escort. And actually, Red, on this mission, did not have a fighter escort, which meant you were all alone. So here he is, Henry Eugene Red Irwin.
Ready?
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
He was the radio operator of a B-29 airplane that was a super fortress, leading a group formation to attack Koryama, Japan. He was charged with the additional duty of dropping phosphorus smoke bombs to aid in assembling the group when the launching point was reached. Upon entering the assembly, I'll get to that in a moment. Upon entering the assembly, aircraft fire and enemy fighter opposition was encountered. Among the phosphorus bombs launched by Staff Sergeant Irwin, one proved faulty, exploding in the launching chute and shot back into the interior of the aircraft, striking him in the face. The burning phosphorus obliterated his nose and completely blinded him. Smoke filled the plane, obscuring the vision of the pilot. Staff Sergeant Irwin realized that the aircraft and crew would be lost if the burning bomb remained in the plane. Without regard for his own safety, he picked it up and, feeling his way, instinctively crawled around the gun turret and headed for the co-pilot's window. He found the navigator's table obstructing his passage. Grasping the burning bomb between his forearm and his body, he unleashed the spring lock and raised the table. Struggling through the narrow passage, he stumbled forward into the smoke-filled pilot's compartment. Groping with his burning hands, he located the window and threw the bomb out. Completely aflame, he fell back upon the floor. The smoke cleared. The pilot, at 300 feet, pulled the plane out of its dive. Staff Sergeant Irwin's gallantry and heroism above and beyond the call of duty saved the life of his comrades. Now, I need to just cover a couple quick things. Upon the assembly area. Well, there are little logistical nerdy details that I geek out on. Some people do not. For instance, D-Day. You, of course, know what D-Day is, the Normandy invasion. All those ships, all those troops, all those things on the ships. But there's only so much shoreline. They all didn't just leave at once in one big line. If you dig into it, it's fascinating. They went out to a designated area away from the shore as the ships would cast off. They'd be away from the shore, and this was pre-planned ahead of time, pre-organized. They started sailing in a big circle, round and round and round, and the circle grew as more and more of the ships would assemble in the assembly area until they were there, and then they would shove off. Fascinating, right? Well, let's go to air attacks, whether they be from a ship, or because that was often the case in the Pacific, or from a base somewhere, no matter what. You want to show up in some place in formation together. Well, you're not all taking off together. There's only one runway or two runways. You know what I'm saying. What do? You have to get to an area at some point, whether that be right away or some point down the road, and you come up with an assembly area, which brings us to why he was dropping the phosphorus smoke bombs. They were smoke bombs, right? But how do you create that much smoke? Something we still use today. We had them in mortars, white phosphorus rounds. They burn through everything. Now, just a couple more points I want to make here. You already heard he's carrying it. He's burning. Right when it struck him in the face right away, how it said it obliterated his nose, it also seared his ear right off his body, right off the bat. Boom. Shattered nose, seared ear. Plane is full of smoke. It's, I believe, 1,500 degrees. Hot. Majorly hot. These planes are not big. Even the big ones are not necessarily big. He's crawling through it with a smoke-filled bomb burning at 1,500 degrees. It's burning him the whole time. He gets to a table that's down. He knows he has to lift it to get by. He cradles it in his forearm against his body. What you should know, and what doesn't come through during the Medal of Honor citation, is as he's cradling the 1,500-pound phosphorus bomb to his body, it burns through everything, including all of his flesh, down to his bones. He gets to the co-pilot's window. He throws it out. He falls down, as it said, aflame. His crew members rush him to try to care for him. Every time they pull back his clothes, the phosphorus, sound like Joe Biden, starts to burn again because it burns whenever the oxygen hits it, and you can't stop it. He landed with such severe burns that this Medal of Honor citation, you know how we were talking about how some of them take 40, 50, 60 years, it's crazy? He had his rushed. Why? The second they landed, they told about his story of heroism. They rushed his Medal of Honor citation because they were so sure he was about to die. He was in a hospital cooked to a crisp. And they were all, hey, we need his medal now. Like, we don't have tomorrow. We need it right now. They got it approved, got him his medal. The guy lived, went on to serve and support veterans the rest of his life. Grew up poor, lost his father early, but a wonderful Christian man who just wanted to serve others his whole life. Red was his name. Red, who had the fortitude, golly, the freaking pain tolerance, if nothing else, to hold a 1,500-degree bomb burning through his ribs just to save the other people in his crew. And that is why we read Medal of Honor citations on Monday. And before I get back to politics, I asked for a couple and you sent a couple. I got a couple ghost stories. Shut up, Chris. We're doing those next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
There. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's not true. Friday's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So it's all, look, tomorrow, Friday, virtually the same thing. Either way, love, hate, death threats, whatever you want, can be emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. What, Chris? Yeah, right, Chris. I'm a little bit out of sorts. Look, I have to tell you, before we get into the ghost stories here, and then we'll get back to politics, I have to tell you something that hurt today. It hurt bad. So here's a fact. You're going to have to take this from the Menu Whisperer. Mozzarella sticks are elite. Everyone knows it. I know it. You know it. Even the health freaks know. Ah, the seed oils. Oh, shut up. Everyone likes mozzarella sticks. But mozzarella sticks are one of those things that it's hard to get them right. You see, as I've said many times before, not to take a sidetrack from my sidetrack, a perfect cheeseburger is the pinnacle of food. It cannot be beaten by anything. But we'll make it just about pizza. A perfect cheeseburger is better than any slice of pizza you will ever get. However, a perfect cheeseburger is very hard to come by. Overcooked, undercooked, bun isn't right. A slice of pizza doesn't have to be perfect to be yummy. You can get a slice of pizza that's been under a heat lamp all day long, tastes totally fine. You get a burger that's been in that kind of shape, can't eat it. You can't eat it, right? Back to what we were just discussing. There are many, many wonderful appetizers that can be served at any temperature. But the perfect mozzarella stick trumps all. Mozzarella sticks, however, they must be consumed during that brief, it's about 35 seconds, that brief window after they're molten lava and before they become cold, rubbery trash. You don't have very much time. So I consider myself a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to mozzarella sticks. That's how I know Red Lobster has some of the best in the game. There's another, don't shake your head, Chris. There's another place locally. It's a burger joint. But of course, the Menu Whisperer caught on to this some time ago. They have amazing mozzarella sticks. I've been getting these for quite some time. Today, me, Jewish producer Chris, producer Corey, we hadn't had this place in forever. I wanted to keep it healthy, so I decided to go there solely for the mozzarella sticks. They're off the menu. Not even kidding. Can't even order them anymore. Too many incidents. That's what happens. It's ghost story time. Hi, Jesse. I've never been interested in ghost stories, scary movies, or anything of the sort. From 2005 to 2017, I worked as a server at a 100-year-old family-owned restaurant slash wedding venue that had several ghosts. Okay, you ready? Some would make themselves seen while others created mischief while staying invisible. I guess that would be the right word. One of them was a man wearing a top hat and a tuxedo. Gosh, I want a top hat so bad. He was seen many times by several employees throughout the years. The vision of him casually standing in an empty ballroom caused more than one male waiter to shriek like a woman. We had one employee, a legit Mexican gangbanger, the guy says he had teardrops tattoo and everything, who, while working late one night on a ballroom renovation, saw the top hat wearing ghost standing in the kitchen. He turned white as a sheet, went back into the ballroom, and told the boss, "I go home now." Oh, that's sweet. This might be real, Chris. They go on. Another ghost was an older man in a gray business suit. One late night, I was in our smallest party room laying out supplies for the next day. The room was empty and dark with only the kitchen light shining through the partially open door. Gosh, I'm so creeped out. The table I was standing at was in front of the mirror, and when I looked up, I could see the gentleman in the suit behind me on the far side of the room. He was in profile and holding a drink as if he was walking over to talk to another party guest. Again, there was no party, and I was the only person in the dark room. I did not stay for a chat. Why does nobody never stay for the chat? Say something. The dude's got a drink. He wants to talk to somebody. And lastly, the unseen ghosts like to cause mischief, knocking wedding cake plates out of servers' hands, knocking empty pots and pans onto the floor in an empty kitchen, pulling the ponytails of female servers, and opening and closing doors at random. Anyway, it was an adventure. I saw and heard things over the years that just cannot be explained with logic or reason. I would tell new employees when they would ask me about the subject, I don't know if ghosts are real or not, but if they do exist, we've got them. She didn't say I could say her name. Chris, Corey, are we anywhere closer to believing? I'm trying to believe. I know you don't believe, Chris. I don't believe either, and I want to. Every single thing I read, and you know she's totally genuine, every single thing I read sounds like a bunch of crap to me. You know, the Mexican gangbanger turning totally white as a sheet. That doesn't happen. All right. No matter what, there's a shade to the skin. What, Chris? I'm talking about physics here, or the human body, whatever we're talking about here. That's part of it. Two, knocking over wedding cakes. That's a clumsy waitress who's tripping over the wedding cakes and then coming up with you stole it. And lastly, you're in a dark room with just the light shining through the kitchen. That's the perfect creep-out scenario where you're going to come up with in your mind that there's a dude there sipping on a drink. But she's telling the truth, but I can't. Corey, where are you at? No, Corey's still a no. We need some non-cynics on this show. We got to get some fruitcakes on the show. That'll help us. What, Chris? We do. Let's get some fruits in here. Speaking of fruits, your dog needs the vitamins and minerals from Rough Greens on his food. Because your dog doesn't get vitamins and minerals and probiotics and things like that. Your dog gets nothing from his food is what I'm trying to get across. Your cat gets nothing from the food. Is it dried, brown food? Then there's no nutrition in it. Dead things are brown. There's a reason the leaves turn that color right before they fall off. They're dying. So why do our dogs die so early? You know, that's not the case all around the world, and it hasn't always been the case here. Our dogs die so early because they don't get nutrition. I sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food every single meal, not just because it fixed his digestive issues, which it did. Thank you, probiotics. Not just because it made his coat look better, but because it's going to help that fluffy idiot live longer. And that's what we want. You want to try it? Free? Free Jumpstart trial bag? 833-33 my dog, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Keep your dog around longer, or your cat. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, wishing everybody a very merry
Buenas tardes.
On a beautiful Monday. We are 1 week away from our nightmare being over. 1 week away, and these people are going to be gone.
Look, let's get something in mind about the border. When I became president, the numbers came way down, number one.
Like I said, they're simply going to lie about everything. That was Joe Biden. All right, so I have a concern, and it may be completely unfounded. I'm going to go ahead and lead with that right there. Time will tell whether or not it's founded. So my concern is about Pam Bondi. Who is Pam Bondi? And just in case you're a norm or a normie, Bondi is Trump's pick to be attorney general, to head up the DOJ, the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America. All right, now, I'll get to why I'm concerned in a moment. Just a quick recap. It is my belief that we cannot, I don't care how many elections we win, we cannot possibly get this country right and back on the right track unless government people go to prison. Not one or two either. Not some patsy. Government people, lots of them, have committed crimes with their positions of power and have to go to prison as an example to other government people to mind their P's and Q's. That is what I believe. Maybe you argue with me. Maybe you love that. I don't care. But I believe that all the way. That I've said it'll be our canary in the coal mine that America is getting its act together when you start seeing government people go to prison. So why haven't they? Because what I just said, you probably agree with, but I'll tell you right now, a lot of people with a lot of power also agree with what I just said. I'm talking United States senators I've talked to privately. We're having dinner. We're hanging out. Yes, Jesse, these people have to go to prison. Congressmen, not just some freshman congressmen either. Congressmen with real power agree. Yes, they have to go to prison. FBI agents, current and former, agree with me. Government people have to go to prison. Over and over and over again. Spooks, military people, guys I know, government people have told me, yes, they have to go to prison. So if all these powerful people agree government people have to go to prison, why aren't there any government people in prison? Or I should say not many. Yeah, I realize they'll roll out a Scooter Libby every now and then and blame everything on him. But why have there been no announcements that there's a 20-person sting of government officials who've been caught abusing their position? Why has it never happened? Because the Department of Justice is where it must happen. That's where it must come from. You see, last time, which I think was last week, I think it was Ron Johnson I was talking to. I asked Senator Ron Johnson, why are none of these people in prison? And he said, and he wasn't wrong, Jesse, all I can do is refer them to the DOJ for prosecution. From there, even as a United States senator, all that power, I can't do anything else from there. If the DOJ chooses not to prosecute, they never get prosecuted. The Department of Justice is the shield protecting the swamp. We like to call it the swamp or the deep state or the system, whatever you want to call it. The system is protected by the Department of Justice. So why am I apprehensive about Pam Bondi? Doesn't make sense because her reputation is excellent. And I've talked to many people I trust. You should know. And they've told me she got a great reputation. I think she might do some good. I've been told that many times before. Okay? Well, the Washington Post, they're one of the more evil publications out there. The Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, they could probably have a big old brawl to see which is the more despicable communist news outlet. That's how gross the Washington Post is. The Washington Post came out this morning, and the Washington Post announced they had some grave concerns about these four Trump nominees. Four. Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard, of course. Hegseth, Pete Hegseth, his confirmation hearings tomorrow. RFK Jr. and Russ Vought. Only four. But you know who they weren't concerned with? In fact, they gave her a thumbs up. Pam Bondi. Now, I don't want to base my criticisms or compliments based on just, well, let's just do whatever the opposite of Washington Post says. I don't want to base it on just that. So again, I don't want to act like this is the end of the world. Pam Bondi might end up being a rock star. But Pam Bondi, she has to be more than a good AG, a Republican AG. She has to be more than that. Pam Bondi must see herself as a crusader whose job it is to go after government people. That is not just some side project. That has to be her main focus. The Washington Post They want the swamp to get swampier, the deep state to get deeper, whatever way you want to put it. They are so dirty, as dirty as it gets, with ties to the deep state all over the place. Why is the Washington Post concerned about Pam Bondi, or not concerned about Pam Bondi? It's not hard to figure out why they're concerned about Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth has been very vocal about his intention to shake things up at the Pentagon, to completely gut the military of so much of this Marxist filth. Pete Hegseth has been loud and proud about that. The Washington Post said, oh, man, we can't have that. Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard has loudly talked about the evil abuses of our intelligence and law enforcement agencies. Tulsi Gabbard herself was put on a domestic terrorist watch list because she got crossways with the President of the United States.
It's worse than ridiculous, Sean. It is absolutely despicable and outrageous. When you look at the President of the United States of America calling millions of Americans essentially terrorists, people who politically opposed him or voted against him, he's calling them terrorists in an attempt to intimidate them into silence. And we know this is because we've heard this before from both him and his attorney general. You'll remember when his attorney general said, you know, anyone who holds extremist. Or...
No, we can't have Tulsi Gabbard, according to the Washington Post. RFK Jr., same thing. Whether you love him or hate him, has some very big ideas for America's pharmaceutical industry, America's food industry. He wants to go in and shake things up. He wants to go in and turn the guns inward, if you will. Washington Post says, no, gosh, geez, we can't have that psycho. But the lady who's taking over the most important position by a mile, is Pam Bondi, head of the DOJ. And the Washington Post gives her a thumbs up. Let's talk about the DOJ. Here was Andrew Weissman on MSNBC.
So we really could be entering a lawless world. It remains to be seen. It's going to be a real challenge for those people in the Department of Justice when you have a convicted felon as the president. But it remains to be seen, but it is a scary prospect, especially when you're thinking about the January 6th defendants.
People who work currently at the DOJ, they're very, very concerned about the insurrection from January 6th, plus Trump is a convicted felon. This is how deep the swamp is at the DOJ. Does Pam Bondi, Washington Post approved, does she have what it takes to clean out Washington? Without her, doesn't matter what Trump wants, what the Senate wants. Without her leading the charge, the deep state don't get drained. We will see how that works out. Let's do some emails. Before we do some emails, let me tell you about these disgusting smoothies Ob makes every single morning. They are so foul because they're so full of all this healthy garbage. It's got kale and all this other garbage in it. Besides the chocolate powder that goes in there, there's nothing else in there that is even decently tasting. So how do I get it down? Well, it has to be blended completely. That's the only way I can plug my nose and gut down this big ball of vegetable filth. And that's where the obliterator from Chefman comes in. The obliterator is the greatest freaking blender ever. It's built to handle 20 years of daily use. 20 years. And it looks good. Ob keeps nothing on the counter. As I've told you, I'm not allowed to keep the stupid toaster on the counter. But the obliterator never moves. It looks good. It's affordable. And it's the only thing that can grind down that disgusting smoothie into being something that's palatable. Go freaking get one. Chefman.com. Chefman.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's been a Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, you can, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. On iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's if I actually get through the show anyway.
You know, freedom is not free.
Jesse, I'm sure you've addressed this on your radio show in recent days. I found out there's a petition circulating for L.A. Mayor Karen Bass to resign immediately and be replaced with a solid man of courage like Larry Elder or someone like that. If you haven't already, you talk about this on your show. Okay, so listen, I have a couple things I want to talk about when it comes to these things. Hey, there's a recall. Hey, there's a resign. Hey, this and that. One, I don't dog on anyone's political efforts because I believe everything matters. I hate when people on the right do this. They'll point to what this guy's doing and say, oh, that's stupid. It's not enough. You should do what I'm doing. Or they'll point to what this woman's doing and say, I don't like that. You should do this instead. No. The communists come at political problems from every possible angle, every angle you can get. So if you're involved politically, maybe you feel a heart. Maybe you feel called to run for office. Run for office. Good. Maybe you don't feel like that's your calling. I've told you my mom is with this wonderful group of ladies from her church, political activists up there in Montana. They send letters on behalf of candidates. They put addresses on letters. They send out mailers. They knock on doors. That's what they feel called to do. Good. We have people who listen to this show, and many who don't, but they write political music. There are people who make political movies. There are people who just donate financially. Maybe you got a lot of money. But I don't dog on your political activism. Just be active. Our problem is not that people are doing the wrong things. Our problem is we haven't woken up enough people to do anything. That's our problem. Now, that's it. The solution to problems in these blue areas, really all the country, but we'll make it about the blue areas for now. The solution is not getting the current loser to resign or be recalled. Very similar to my anti-term limits argument. The solution is not to have some law or some trigger or some recall petition bounce one of these losers out of office. That is a temporary fix. That's like finding out you have a massive brain tumor and instead you just take ibuprofen for the headache. Well, where's that get you? Gets you a few hours of relief, but you're still in trouble, Jack. The problem in these areas is people aren't waking up, owning the political decisions they've made, and deciding they're going to do things differently in the future. Back to what the LA Times owner said.
First of all, we'll accept some blame, right? So at the LA Times, we endorse Karen Bass. I think right now up front, that's a mistake.
It's not a mistake. You looked at the communist radical because she was a diversity hire. You chose to endorse her over the smarter, more capable Democrat who was running against her. It wasn't a mistake. It was a conscious choice. If you dismiss it as a mistake, then next time you'll make the same mistake. If instead you look and say, I chose wrong for the wrong reasons, and I will do things differently the next time. Now that is the path to getting yourself right, to getting things right. Don't you run into this in your life? I know I've run into this in my life. When I've had bad periods of time in my life or lows in my life, which I certainly have, as you have, we all have ups and downs. That's kind of what life's about, peaks and valleys. Virtually every single one of my valleys has been my fault. And you know what's been very, very consistent during every one of my valleys? During every one of them at the beginning of the valley, I will blame everybody else but me. And probably not coincidentally, about the time I stop doing that and start owning my own decisions and my own mistakes, I come out of the valley and I improve myself. This must take place en masse across the United States of America with people who are watching their complex systems crumble around them. You see, I'm all down for throwing all the monkey poop you want, you know, not literally, but throwing all the monkey poop you want at Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden, and these guys suck and I hate him and let's recall him. Fine. Make fun of him, get him to resign. But replacing Karen Bass with the next diversity hire is not a solution at all. You didn't solve a single thing. In New York City, some woman gets torched alive by an illegal. Are the people of New York City going to own that and decide going forward they're going to vote differently so that kind of thing doesn't happen again? That is the only way to save New York City. And Los Angeles, wildfire destroying the city. Huge neighborhoods. People are sick over it. They've lost family members, friends, homes, pets, devastation, financial devastation too, not just loss of life. And they've watched everyone from the governor to the mayor do nothing about it but make excuses, pass the blame. Okay, it's bad. But whose fault is it those people are there? Okay? Look, I'm not saying that to be glib about it. Whose fault is it those people were there? It's everyone who voted Democrat. Are the people who voted Democrat going to stop doing that from now on? That's really the only thing that matters. Go ahead. Get Karen Bass to resign. Fine. It's not like I'm cheering for her. I can't stand her. Get her to resign. That's no solution. The solution, the real lasting solution, is making sure the voters change their behavior. Right? Speaking of changing behavior, this is something that I have I've gotten a unique appreciation for recently, of not putting things off. I'm talking about with friends and family members, not putting things off. You need to get your photos digitized. You need to get your VHS tapes, the camcorder tapes. Need to get that stuff digitized, and not next year. You don't have time. You don't know if you have time. You don't have time, though. You have to act like you don't. You need to get a hold of Legacy Box, especially while you're saving 50%, and you need to ship them a box of your videos and your pictures so they can be kept forever. I would kill right now. They're doing it for me already, but man, I wished I had already had all kinds of digital pictures of my old man and all those little iPhone videos. I wish. Go to legacybox.com/Jesse now. Not next year, now. Legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.